Good morning, brothers and sisters of Hope Church. I greet you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As you all know, today is Mother's Day, and so may I wish all mothers a very happy Mother's Day. Now, the last time I was in this pulpit of yours, I had thought with deep sadness that it would be my last time with you. You see, my brothers and sisters, my youngest son had graduated from university in your city, and he had decided, happily for me, to return to live and work in Singapore to save me time from having to come here and visit him all the time. I thought of how much, as I be here just the last time, I would miss all of you, many of you, whom I have come to love and cherish. Then I received news, happy news. I was told that I'll be coming back to Adelaide. You see, my oldest son, I have a younger one who was here, and now it is the turn of the oldest son. He has fallen in love with a special lady in your church. And so I was told that I'll be coming back to Hope Church. And of course, it was a very happy news and a happy announcement to me indeed. As you know, their wedding will be held this Friday. And so I'm here with you this morning. Here I am, and I hope that I'll be able to see many of you in the course of our stay this current trip. I see you again. Now, I'm sure, brothers and sisters, that you will understand that the subject of marriage is very much in my mind. And furthermore, today is Mother's Day, which is connected with the purpose of God for marriage. So I call your attention to the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33 that was read for you earlier on in the service. Now I know. I know that many of you will be staring at me and you'll be wondering, but Pastor Willie, is this sermon for me? Now, brothers and sisters, I want to assure you that I know that not everyone is married. You are married, and you may not be married as well, but brothers and sisters, whether you are married or you are not married this morning, this sermon is meant for you. Brothers and sisters, whether you are married or you are not married, you know that the institution of marriage is in serious trouble today. And in many places around the world, the institution of marriage is dying. People are not interested in getting married, and marriage is considered to be something old-fashioned and out of the door. Furthermore, brothers and sisters, you are a Christian. Whether you are married or you are not married, you need to know what does the Holy Bible says about marriage so that you can be useful to God. Because in the coming time, whether you like it or not, you are going to meet with someone who was married and may no longer be married because of a divorce. And how are you going to be useful to God in ministering to your friends and loved one who may find themselves in this very complicated situation in life? And so, whether you are married or you are not married, please, my beloved brothers and sisters, give your attention to what the Word of God is teaching us here about something, an institution that is important to you because you love the Lord and you want to be useful to God in the service of God. Many years ago, my wife, she had an appointment made. She didn't make the appointment. Someone made the appointment to see her. And so at that meeting, the man came, the client, and he came and requested my wife to help him change his will. And he instructed my wife and said, I need to change my will. For the new will, I want to take away the name of my wife. She is no longer of any interest to me. I'm not going to leave anything to her if I were to pass away. And of course, brothers and sisters, my wife wanted to know, but why? And so he narrated the story from his side of point of view. And then my wife heard it. And then the man, the client, asked my wife, is there any divorce advice you would like to give me? And can you help me with a divorce? And my wife said, no, stop it, stop it. Let's stop it. Work on your marriage. Please do everything you can to save your marriage. Marriage is holy. Marriage is good. Marriage is something that is worth fighting for. To cut the story short, if you want to know the long version, please see my wife later. But to cut the story short, I'm very happy to hear you, brothers and sisters, that he's still married and still married to the same lady. You see, brothers and sisters, I hope that by the grace of God, everyone here sitting this morning listening to this sermon will be such a useful instrument person in the hand of God. That when you come across someone who is in difficulty in the marriage, that you will be able, whether you yourself are married or not, you can offer help and wise counsel because you have learned it from the Holy Bible. The Word of God concerning what marriage is supposed to be and what you as a Christian, the hope, the encouragement that you can bring to someone who may be struggling. For after all, brothers and sisters, are we all not imperfect and are we all not sinners? We are going to struggle in life, and may we all be the instrument of hope and the instrument of light to people whom we may find ourselves in a situation where we need to offer help and counsel. You see, brothers and sisters, the world has largely forgotten the divine purpose of marriage. Marriage is often seen as merely a social contract, a romantic partnership, or a path to personal fulfillment. That's the definition of marriage that you find people in the world giving when you ask them to define what marriage is. But look at the Apostle Paul. Here in this passage of the Holy Bible, you find Paul pulls the curtain to reveal a stunning mystery about marriage intended by God for His creatures. You see, marriage was never meant to be an end in itself. Marriage was designed by God from the beginning to be a holy picture, a holy reflection of God's purpose. God wants it to point to the greatest love story ever told. Look at what he says, the Apostle Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He was talking about marriage, and he was concluding, coming to the conclusion of what he was talking about when he said this, referring to marriage, is a great mystery. And therefore, whether you are married or you are not married, you are a Christian. You want to know so that you, even if you are not married, you will be prepared for marriage. And even if you remain by the calling of God not to be married, you want to be useful to God to help your friend, your brother, your sister, someone you know who may be in trouble in their marriage. You want to be a useful instrument to God, to be of service to somebody you love. Marriage then, brothers and sisters, as you find it here described for us by the Apostle Paul, marriage is meant to be a gospel message. It is meant to be a gospel message that points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great mystery, he says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And therefore I call your attention to be given here to this passage, to three lessons, brothers and sisters, I hope to offer to you this morning, to submit to you, and I hope that you will learn. And the first point is this, if you look there in chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, you'll find there, brothers and sisters, how wives are to mirror the submission of the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul begins with his address to wives. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, of course, I know, of course, brothers and sisters, that the world, the unbelieving world, the world will say to you, look at the human side of the word submit. But the Apostle Paul here is not asking you to look at the human side of the word submit. He's calling you, brothers and sisters, to look at the spiritual side of the word submit. The word submit invokes a sense of inferiority and abuse in the eyes of the world. And that's what the world wants you to look at and to concentrate on. Woman! Hey! Submit, you know. How can we, sisters? We are the modern feminists. But that's not what the Bible is referring to. You must understand that the Bible exists before the modern feminist movement. And it is not talking about inferiority or abuse. You see, God calls you to look at the word submit as in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The call to submit to your own husband is as to the Lord has been very largely been misused and misquoted and misunderstood by even people, especially abusive husbands who may call themselves Christians. In its proper context, if you would read with me and carefully reread what is recorded here, you realize that it is actually, brothers, sisters especially, it is a beautiful calling. The wise voluntary submission, the Apostle Paul tells us here, is a picture of how the church relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not inferiority, but it is about function. It is about order within a loving relationship. As the church finds its life, its purpose, and its joy in following the Lord Jesus Christ, so a wife's submission is a reflection of that devotion and love. Now, that's not what you'll find when you watch television, whether it be K-drama, C-drama, or what drama, you know, that you may be following on your television. Look at the example of a dancer and his dancing partner. The dancer, he leads, guiding the flow of the dance, anticipating the music, and ensuring the movements are graceful and safe. Now, his dancing partner follows, but she is not a passive participant. She is participating as a dancing partner, but she is an active, skillful, and trusting co-dancer. Her following allows the beauty of the dance to be fully realized. You see, brothers and sisters, if both the dancer and his dancing partner, if they were both of them try to lead the dance becomes a clumsy struggle. And we who are looking at them dancing, we can see tensions. You see disharmony. You see disunity. What do you see? You find two persons fighting to lead. Someone has to lead the dance. Either the man or the woman. It is the same, brothers and sisters, for marriage. God, in the case of marriage, has ordained the husband to lead. It is not an easy job. If the dance is badly executed, the man is to be blamed. God holds the husband responsible if the marriage is not what God wants it to be. I see the women smiling. I see a lot of angry men staring at me. Well, no worry, brothers, because my wife is also smiling at me. A wife's submission is her graceful response to her husband's loving lead. It shows a beautiful picture of the relationship of the church with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the picture of Christ and His church that the Apostle Paul is calling you to bear in mind. Whether you are married or you are not married, you need to know this is the picture. It is not about how beautiful the bride is today and how handsome the bridegroom is. It's about Christ and His church. Look! That's what you are to look at and focus on. And so tell me, brothers and sisters, do you hear the call for wives to fulfill her role with the husbands in this holy picture of marriage? And husbands, to make my wife happy, are you making it easier for your wives to obey this holy calling from God? To be honest, often the husband make it very difficult. And so this husband standing here in the pulpit has to say, wife, sorry for making it so difficult. Now my wife is hating me, I know, for embarrassing her. But brothers and sisters, surely you know my purpose here this morning. Husbands, it's not the wife that is making the marriage troublesome and painful. Have you ever thought that the finger is pointing at you and God is looking at you? If you are in a very unhappy marriage this morning, you are responsible. Why are you accusing your wife when you are the one leading the dance? It is not a co-dancer. So tell me, brothers and sisters, whether you are married or not, are you actively helping your married friends or loved ones to obey God in this matter? If tomorrow you will go back to work and there at work or in school you hear of the struggles and the pain and the quarreling, what are you going to do? Are you going to encourage a divorce? Get out of it. Get out of it. Get out of such a miserable marriage. Is that your option? Is that your cure for the problem? Or do you talk about what you have just heard and you were hearing the second lesson? Look at the second lesson. It says how husbands are to mirror the love of Christ for His church. And that's what Paul said in chapter 5, verses 25 to 30. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as, are you listening? Even as, just like Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I have to pause here, brothers and sisters, and address to you, husbands, do you, tell me honestly, do you? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Well, brothers and sisters, look at what the Apostle Paul says about the husbands. The role of a husband is not one of dominance or abuse of power. Instead, the call is for husbands, especially Christian husbands, to uphold self-sacrifice for their own wives. The primary calling of the husband is not to be served, but to serve. It is not to demand, but to give. And the Apostle Paul tells us that this is the picture of a godly husband who glorifies God. This, brothers and sisters, does it not remind you of what our Lord Jesus says? Our Lord Jesus says in Matthew 20 and verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served unto, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Husband, are you reminding your wife, and are you reminding everybody who know about you and your wife, that this is how you are to love your wives? That is what the apostles reminded us in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 and verse 35, where you read these words, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Husbands, are you listening? Brothers and sisters, is it easy for your wives, especially brothers, husbands, is it easy for your wives? Is it easy to submit to you? You see, brothers and sisters, it is easy for a woman, for a wife, who is deeply loved by her husband, to submit and follow the husband. Who will not? As a pastor, brothers and sisters, I have met with many fighting couples. And the root problem I've come to conclusion is this. It is usually an unloved wife or an unrespected husband. Often, you find an unreasonable husband or an unreasonable wife, and you find them in the pastor's office. Husbands, do you obey the call of God to reflect the love of Christ in your marriage? Hey! After bearing for some years, you tend to forget about that. You irritate me. And she's going to reply back, equally so. And then you're going to say, stop saying that. And she's going to turn to you and say, who started it first? You are to love your own wife with the same sacrificial love that your Lord, Jesus Christ, has demonstrated in his love toward his church. Husbands are called to imitate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. It's a sacrificial love. It's a costly love, brothers and sisters. And that is the standard you are to follow. You are to uphold. It is a love that is willing to suffer to be inconvenienced. It is a love that will indeed be willing to make you lay down your life for the good of your wife. This is how you are to love your wife. This is true marital love. It is not about you. It is about him, following him. Story is told of a young husband who claimed to love his wife very much. And he even told her that he would climb the highest mountain to pluck the stars from the sky for her. That he would even jump into the deepest ocean to get a lovely pearl for her. But he would not leave the finger at home to help with the housework, to clean the dishes, or to fetch her home from work, though it may be raining heavily. Hey. Lover, I think you are just misusing your wife, isn't it? Love is never love until it is put into action. The love that you are supposed to demonstrate to your wife is a love that must be seen, must be felt, must be in action. If your wife is in danger, husbands, will you give your own life to save her? I say these words with great care because I know that my wife is listening carefully to everything I'm saying this morning from this pulpit. And I hope that my two sons are also listening carefully to this sermon, especially my older son. I hope all husbands here in Hope Church are listening to this holy calling to reflect the love of Jesus Christ for His church in your marriage. And therefore, you can see now, I hope, whether you're married or you are not married yet, you need to hear this sermon so that you can be useful to God, so that you can help somebody who may be in difficulty in their marital lives. Therefore, brothers and sisters, tell me, will you obey God in this important calling? The world will think that this is crazy, man. This concept of marriage, come on, man, it's outdated. It doesn't work. It will not work. And the feminists will never come along and join in. But brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, he is not writing to the modern unbelieving feminists. He's writing to you, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus Christ. You will listen. I know you will, because you will be following the examples of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And you know deep in your heart that you will never be happy unless you follow Him. You want to have a happy marriage? Here, look at this example. And your marriage, if you were to imitate it, will be a very happy marriage. Not just happy marriage, exceptionally happy marriage you will have in the sight of God. Will you make sure that when you meet others and they see the marriage relationship you have with your spouse, husband or wife, that they will think of the greater relationship between Christ and His great love for His church? I quickly come to my last point because our time is running out. And the third point is this, brothers and sisters. Look at how Christians are to safeguard this concept of marriage. You are told in Ephesians 5 and verse 30, where the Apostle Paul says, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." He is not addressing the world. He is not addressing people who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have no interest of the body of Christ in their hearts and minds. He's talking about you. Why are you here this morning? Why do you obey God to attend church on Sunday morning? It is because you love God. It is because you love Jesus. You have come to know His love for you in the giving of His own life for your sins, in rescuing you from darkness and to bring you into His marvelous light and presence. You know Him. You know what a lovely person He is. You know what great sacrifice He made in giving up His glory in heaven to come into this world of darkness and sin and wickedness. And why did He bother to come? On a mission of love, supreme love, demonstration of the great love of God, in that while you were yet sinners, He bore your guilt and sin when He sacrificed Himself on the cross at Calvary. What demonstration of love! Because He knew that without His coming, without He giving His life for you, you will have no life, you will have no forgiveness, you will have no hope. And when you die, you will die and you'll meet the fire in hell. But out of His love, and it is love that He had when He came into this world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Brothers and sisters, as a Christian, you have the responsibility to make sure that this gospel message is the message you display in your marriage, no matter how imperfect that is. You want people who know you, who come to visit you, who look at you, observe you, to go away knowing, Christian, we are Christian. My mother wasn't a Christian when she died. I'm sorry, and I'm very sad about that. But there was something that she said before I became a Christian when I was just in primary school. She died when I was in primary school, and there was something that remained with me till today. I went to a Catholic primary school, and then she made a comment that remained in my mind. She said this, she said that those Christians, we don't believe in their gods, but you can never deny Christian people have love because of the love that their God demonstrated for them. When people look at your marriage, brothers and sisters, do they say, what a lovely marriage, and I hope mine to be like theirs? Or do they say, I'm not going to get married because of them? Why should I? To be in the same misery? You have to decide this morning, beloved brothers and sisters, having heard this sermon, are you going to be useful to God? Are you going to be useful to someone who may be struggling in their marital lives? What would it be for you? Will you safeguard marriage because you are a team member? You are a body, a member of His body, as the Apostle Paul here described you. You should have a natural desire to safeguard this message, this picture of the love of Jesus Christ for His church in the way you treat one another. Please, why? Don't say, hey, pastor, you say love, the husband's supposed to love me. No, you never say, huh? I'm supposed to love my husband, no? You mean I have to say, No, brothers and sisters, deep in your heart you know that your greatest love that you can demonstrate to one another is service. Marriage is not merely about the celebration of love between a husband and his wife. That is the wrong concept that you find from the world. That is the wrong picture that you find commonly in Hollywood and in Bollywood or whatever else. But Paul calls you to see Christ. To see Christ. To see Christ and how He loved the church. As Christians, you have a duty to safeguard this holy picture of marriage. The world seeks to misrepresent marriage and offers alternatives like cohabitation, gay marriage, and whatever nonsense you find in the world. The world wants to redefine marriage into something that is anti-God and anti-Christ. But you want to safeguard marriage, the institution of marriage, because you are a Christian. Whether you are married or you are not married, you want to safeguard what God says about marriage because you love the Lord. You find in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 24, paragraph 3, stating this about marriage. It is the duty of Christians to marry only in the Lord, and therefore such as profess the Reformed, the true Reformed religion, should not marry with infidels, papists, or other idolaters. Neither should such as are godly be unequally yoked by marrying with such as are notoriously wicked in their life or maintain damnable heresies. That's in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Many people in Singapore, I don't know about here, but in Singapore, when you tell them this, they'll say, oh, that is the unique practices of only the extremists in the BP church. It is not a BP teaching, it is a Westminster teaching. And that's what the Presbyterians throughout church history we have been upholding until in recent years, where because of unbelief and heresies and false pastors, it has been dismantled. Now you may be surprised that this is the official teaching of your church, which is a Presbyterian church. Some of you may be offended by what I have just said or read from the Westminster Confession of Faith. Because in this paragraph, you read about what? You read about a relationship. You read about relationship that may be forbidden in the teaching of the Holy Bible. And so if you are in such a relationship that you know to be wrong, you may be asking, why this teaching? Why should a Christian marry only in the Lord? It is because, brothers and sisters, you have a calling, a duty to God as a Christian to safeguard marriage as God intended this institution to be. Marriage, you see, is not merely about a man and a woman in love. To a Christian, marriage has a higher message. Marriage speaks of Christ and His love for His people. Marriage, as I said in the beginning, is a gospel message. Therefore, brothers and sisters, will you guard God's purpose for marriage? You will love your wife because by loving her, you show the great love of Christ for His church. You submit to your husband, your own husband, because by submitting to him, you show the relationship of Christ with His church. You are living for Christ. If you love Christ, you will seek to have an exceptionally happy marriage. So here, when you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, you realize that the Apostle Paul, he has pulled back the curtain to show you the real wonderful truth about marriage. God designed marriage to be a holy picture of His love for His people. Do not misrepresent that picture in your marriage. Tell me, brothers and sisters, do you know this deep, deep love of the Lord for His people? I suspect that sitting among here this morning, there will be some people who are new to church, never heard about this love. What do you mean by Christ and His love for His church? It is this, summarized for us, this love of God. In a most famous Bible verse, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to remember this, because this is the most important message you will ever hear in this world. How God reached out to people unworthy and rebellious with a message of love, that if they would return, repent of their sins and turn to His Son, whom He has provided as the only appointed Savior from heaven, you have a forgiveness of your sins. You have salvation in Him and eternal life. Marriage is in trouble today. Marriage is dying in many places around the world. Young people look at marriage with no desire, with wrong ideas about marriage. But you are a Christian. You have heard this message. Whether you are married or not married this morning, this message is for you. It's for you to bring home with you, to hide it in your heart. Today is Mother's Day. The best gift a father can give his children is to love their mother and to help her to be the best mother in the world. You do that, husbands and fathers, by loving the mother. And your children will grow up having the best idea and best view of marriage. They want to be married and they will be happily married. You know why? Because they grew up seeing how you love their mothers. What an awful responsibility, fathers, you have. And that is why in Singapore, I do not know about Adelaide, every Mother's Day, not possible for you to walk into a restaurant to have a table. The staff will tell you it is fully booked for weeks. Everybody celebrate Mother's Day. Everybody loves their mother. Sorry to tell you, when Father's Day come, you can walk into any restaurant and get a table anytime. I am a father, you know. Don't laugh. I know what it means. We fail in our duty as husbands and fathers. We come into the presence of God this morning. We want to change this so that in future, you walk into any Father's Day dinner, no place, fully booked, because of Hope Church. Let that be true in the city of Adelaide. Beloved brothers and sisters, let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we humble ourselves in your holy presence this morning. We are so thankful for mothers. At the same time, we know the importance of us loving our wives because they are our children's mothers. Remember them today, O Lord. Help them to see that they played a very important role and often a very costly and sacrificial role as mothers. How much they have gone through, how much sacrifices they have made out of their love for their children and for their husbands. Give them today a happy day and every day of their lives too, that their children will grow up to be grateful children. And more importantly, that the children will grow up having a happy homes and desiring that their own marriage and their new homes in the future will indeed be exceptionally happy marriages and happy homes as well. We ask for your blessing for Hope Church, that such a concept of marriage would indeed be upheld and practiced among the people here, that those who come and go from this church will bring away with them this concept of what marriage is meant to be according to the Word of God. So look upon us and smile upon us for Christ, our Savior's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Willie, for the message this Mother's Day, for today's Lord's Day. Now, in response and in closing our worship service today, shall we now all rise and sing our closing hymn, hymn 5.